The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing this morning?
Boker Tov, I was really excited to read an article about Mobileye giving a sneak preview into what they call RoboTaxi, which is just ahead of its launch, apparently later this year. And this is Mobileye, the autonomous vehicle technology company, which was bought out by Intel a few years ago. It has developed an autonomous driving taxi that it plans to launch in Jerusalem and in Munich later this year.
Unbelievable.
That will go around driving itself. Now, as I understand the rules at the moment, there still needs to be a human in these autonomous vehicles. I don't think it's legal to allow them to just go out on their own.
But this is a major
step. Yeah, but this is a major step forward. There's this great video that's been released by Intel that shows a 40-minute autonomous car ride around Jerusalem, the car stopping at traffic lights, the car being mindful of pedestrians and of bicycles and of scooters around it, even showing other cars making illegal turns and doing illegal things around it and being mindful of all of that as well. So the idea is that that you will be able to download the app. You will simply call the car from the app. It's in partnership with the car rental company Sixt and in conjunction with Move It, which is also an Israeli vehicle company that was recently bought out by Intel. So this is going to be a very, very fascinating test to see how this autonomous taxi system will work. Apparently, ultimately, they hope to run it not only in Jerusalem and Munich, but also Detroit, New York City, Tokyo, Paris. There's going to be quite a wide variety of these autonomous taxis, robo-taxi right now. I know, Howard, I remember we had a discussion probably a few years ago where you said, this whole idea of autonomous vehicles, I don't believe that it's ever going to happen in our lifetime. It seems like way too high-tech, way too, too far beyond what we can envisage right now. But this is a real live test that's due to happen later this year.
Incredible.
Obviously, there's a lot of regulation and a lot of licensing that's still needed in order to make this happen. But I can honestly see this really happening.
I just keep thinking, who's going to be rude to you then if you don't have an actual taxi driver in Israel?
I think they can arrange it. They might be able to arrange like a speaker system in the car.
Yeah, just somebody to
just
abuse
insult you
and,
as you're driving along.
Exactly. Because you definitely do want the full experience.
Yeah, I mean, you won't be able to get the experience of them eating Gary Nim at the same time and sipping on the cool drink. And also giving you the guided tour of what's around you, which they also like to do. But
absolutely. That's actually the part that I love, in truth, is when you do get into, once you settle past that first negotiation as to whether there's going to be a meter on or a flat rate that is maybe six times what the meter will be, once you've settled past that, then you can get into a conversation and hear about what you're driving past. So that is quite fun.
So this is a great development, and I'm really looking forward to see how it works.
Amazing. I've been talking to listeners, and we were talking about it earlier. The distress, the tension in Jerusalem is something that I haven't seen for many, many years. In fact, the last time I recall it being this bad was when we were here also for a wedding during the Intifada. There's definitely, when our kids were going out last night, there was worry about it, where you're going, who you're with. There's definitely, certainly in Jerusalem, an incredible amount of tension on the streets. There's a huge amount of police presence and army presence wherever you go. And it is somewhat unnerving, but it's very clearly for good reason. A large terror attack was planned for Pesach and has now been intercepted. What do we know about this?
So just to reference your point about the tension that you feel on the street, it's ironic that in some cases, when people see the huge security presence, they feel more relaxed rather than more tense because they just feel more secure that they've got security forces around them. I think that a lot of it is about what you're accustomed to and how you interpret what's going on around you. But the IDF have been very, very active over the past few days, over the past few weeks in trying to round up known terrorists in order to try to intercept potential attacks that will be coming along. As you've mentioned a few times, we're running into this weekend where we have Easter festivities in Jerusalem. We have Ramadan, which is ongoing. Friday prayers tomorrow will be a big deal. We have tomorrow night Leil Seder with a Jew celebrating Pesach. So we have all of the big religions coming together. Of course, Pesach being Aliyah LeRegel, where people like to come to Jerusalem in order to replicate the tradition of going up to Jerusalem for the Chag, for the festival. And certainly during the days of Chol HaMoed, it will be very, very busy in Jerusalem. The traditional Birkat HaKohanim has been reinstated this year and will be taking place as usual, I believe, on Sunday. And so there is certainly a lot of action going on. We understand that the IDF have intercepted quite a number of attacks that were being planned over Pesach time. What makes it more difficult for the IDF is that it seems as if though many of these attacks are being initiated by what they call lone wolf terrorists, people who are not necessarily closely in touch with a huge network, but who for what reason, one reason or another, are choosing to operate on their own without massive communication, without creating a network around them, which makes it, of course, a lot more difficult to gain intelligence and to intercept. But we've had news of the IDF being in action in the area of Ramallah, where they intercepted, there was some video footage actually of the IDF soldiers going in and arresting a number of suspected people who were claimed to carry out attacks in the coming days. There was even an incident, there was some gunfire exchanged. In that process, a Palestinian man was killed. He was then later identified as somebody who has previously carried out a terror attack and killed an Israeli. He was until recently in custody held by the Palestinian Authority, but somehow managed to escape that custody, apparently with the intention of carrying out a terror attack sometime quite soon. There were a number of people arrested, and of course this individual was killed. And then in the other stories, there were also activities by the IDF in Tulkarem, where they managed to arrest somebody who was also planning to carry out an attack over Pesach. It all kind of harks back and makes us remember the so-called Seder night attack, where we have the 20th anniversary this year of that Seder night attack, 30 people killed at a Seder in Netanya, and of course the IDF doing whatever they can in order to ensure that that particular incident is not repeated, the Seder night attack and indeed any other attacks over Pesach. It is so easy for people to be exposed during Pesach, during Ramadan, during Easter, because the activities that happen are mostly outdoors. There will be the traditional walk down the Via Dolorosa for the Easter Day parade, the Easter Day celebrations, and of course, as I mentioned previously, crowds turning up to the Kotel throughout Pesach, but particularly for the traditional Birkat HaKohanim, which will take place next week. So the security forces certainly on high alert, and a lot of preventative work going on right now in order to try to ensure that we will all be able to have a peaceful and relaxing Pesach, and to go about our daily business without fear something may happen to us.
Is there a reasonable level of confidence that this attack, having been foiled, that it's relatively safe? Because it's a big announcement to make that this has been foiled in terms of the publicity around it.
Well, I think that the security services felt obliged to make all of this public because they did come under some criticism for the terror attacks that took place over the last few weeks. And there was a feeling that, first of all, the Prime Minister might have taken his eye off the ball, that he might have been too busy taking care of Ukraine and Russia, and that he might have been too busy taking care of other things which are not related to Israel's internal security. And so I think that there's been a refocus over the last week to try to give people a sense of confidence and a sense of comfort and security that the focus is very much on internal security and that people should feel safe. It's very, very difficult to know whether there aren't other attacks being planned, but at least we know for now that some of these attacks, at least, that were planned, some of the terror activities that are going on within the area, particularly around Jenin, around Tulkarem, around Ramallah, a lot of those have now been intercepted and foiled, and there is a great deal of IDF activity there around those hotspots. But as you also know, in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, in Netanya, in the cities, towns and cities in Israel, in order to be seen, to be ever present, and to try somehow to discourage people from carrying out an attack if they have the whim to do so, because they see the amount of security that's surrounding them.
I think so, and I think that it's very important that these things are publicized. Hamas has issued a threat over the possibility that a Jewish group may try and enact a sacrifice on the Temple Mount. Is this even legal?
I don't think it is legal, and in fact, the leader of the group, there is this group that has calling for the rebuilding of the temple, building of the third temple, and have also called for activities on the Temple Mount in order effectively to try to reclaim the Temple Mount for Jewish tradition and for Jewish use. It's a group called Returning to the Mount. The chairman of the group has actually been placed under restraining order by police, forbidding him to enter the Old City of Jerusalem and forbidding him to enter the area of the Temple Mount. But he has threatened that he will go ahead on Friday, in spite of the restraining order, to go onto the Temple Mount. Of course, it was traditional in the days of the Temple to have the Passover sacrifice, the Korban Pesach. And in fact, these days, we eat the Afikoman at the end of our meal, which is symbolic of the Korban Pesach, of the Passover sacrifice. And so now the Returning to the Mount group has said, why should we compromise? The Temple Mount is within our area of control. Why should we compromise by not being allowed to enact the sacrifice for Pesach, for Passover? We should go ahead and do so. And in fact, they've issued a challenge to people on social media, asking people to go ahead and to try and sacrifice a lamb on the Temple Mount, and they've even offered to finance people in case they might be fined or they might be arrested. They've offered to help them, but they are trying to encourage people to slaughter lambs on the Temple Mount as part of a plan to somehow convert the Temple Mount into a more Jewish area rather than the current Muslim focus that the Temple Mount has. Now, of course, this is very, very problematic, because this is insightful. And even though we might believe that we should have the right to enact the Passover sacrifice for Pesach, because the Temple Mount is within our hands, but we also have to think about what the consequences might be and the lack of security that it might result in as a result of taking that particular action. So I'm not sure that it's necessarily a good idea, as much as I would like to believe that we should try to invoke our independence and our right to use the holy sites as we see fit. But in this particular instance, it seems like it's going to be kind of a bad idea. It seems as if this is going to bring more danger than the benefit that it might bring. So I'm interested to hear what listeners have to say about that as well. Obviously, it's a highly controversial call. And you, being in Jerusalem, can feel what it might do. It's almost like a tinderbox.
There's no question that Jerusalem, and certainly where we're staying, is very much a tinderbox. You really do feel that something just could ignite at any point. Anthony, the Pesach is traditionally has been a time that Israelis go away. Where are they going this Pesach? What are Israelis doing this Pesach?
Well, let's start with the president, Isaac Herzog, who is celebrating his first Pesach as president. And he will be hosting a Seder at the presidential residence with his wife, Michal, and his three sons. And in addition to that, he has invited two lone soldiers to attend his Seder, along with a refugee family from Ukraine, a mother and two children who have been invited to the presidential residence to celebrate the Leil HaSeder tomorrow evening. Let's not forget that President Herzog's grandfather was Israel's first chief rabbi. And his own father, who was the sixth president of Israel, attended the yeshiva, two yeshivot, in fact, as part of his education. So we can expect that President Herzog's Seder will be very traditional, will include all the songs, will include Judaica, both in terms of the decoration and in terms of the discussion, and highly traditional one. And that's what our president will be doing. And we are also told that 96% of Israelis will gather together for a Seder tomorrow night. Of one sort or another, people are being advised to do an antigen test before gathering together for Seder night. But as you rightly point out, many people are heading out and the airport has been crowded with people heading out for Pesach holidays. Ironically, a lot of people are heading to Sinai. So whereas we are celebrating as part of Pesach, the Yitziat Mitzrayim, the departure, the redemption from Egypt, a lot of people are doing Yitziat LeMitzrayim. A lot of people are doing a departure to Egypt for Pesach, going to Sinai, trying to get some good weather and get some snorkeling in the Sinai area. Other popular destinations for Pesach include Greece and Turkey. Turkey is very much back on the list again as a popular destination. Weather should be good in those areas. People are also traveling to European destinations and, of course, to the United States. And let's not forget the Israeli on the International Space Station, who will be celebrating Seder night on the International Space Station. I'm fascinated to see how that goes down. And on that note, I would just like to wish all of you a Chag Pesach Kasher V'Sameach, that the Leila Seder will be meaningful, that you will enjoy the time together, back to freedom to celebrate as we are accustomed to, and that Pesach for you will be a good one.
Absolutely, and right back at you, Anthony Wright. Thank you, as always. Thanks for all the updates for the broadcasting. Have a wonderful weekend. A Shabbat Shalom, Chag Pesach, Kasher V'Sameach, and we'll catch you on Monday morning.